It's the Musical Theater Book Club. Let's talk about a show. Welcome to Musical Theater Book Club, where we talk about our favorite musicals, our least favorite musicals, and everything in between. I'm Berkeley.
I'm Sarah.
And today we are talking about American musical theater's biggest composer, I would say, Stephen Sondheim. He's one of my favorite composers. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say, like, you're not a giant fan.
I would say he's in the middle. I mean, I know a lot of these names, you know, for Sondheim and Schwartz and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Like, I know their names and I know some of their shows. I'm trying to think if there's anyone, I don't want to say besides Lynn because that sounds so gross, but if there's, like, that makes me sound like such a loser, but I've realized I don't really, like, pay that much attention, I guess. I guess that's the way it is. Like, I like shows or I don't, but I don't think there's ever been, like, oh, this is the same person who did this and this. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that even made sense.
I get what you mean. I think in this, in, like, contemporary musical theater era, we don't really have, I mean, we have big composer names like Lynn, like Pasek and Paul, but also Pasek and Paul have had one show on Broadway. Granted, they're also big with Dogfight, but I feel like the composers' names aren't getting out there as much as they were in, like, the Golden Age and, like, basically 90s and before. So, no, I totally get what you mean. And that's what I figured. I figured he was sort of in between for you. Have you seen any of his shows done live?
Well, because I'm looking at some of them, which I guess we could just mention some of them now. So in case you don't know, some of his shows, some of his big ones are things like Company, Sweeney Todd, Sunday in the Park with George, and Into the Woods. And then he also wrote the lyrics for West Side Story and Gypsy. So I have seen West Side Story. I haven't seen Gypsy as far as a professional setting, but I saw it at our local community college.
I think
that's it. Like, I mean, I saw the Into the Woods and the Sweeney Todd movie, but I haven't seen stage productions of those. And I listened to Company recently and I liked it more than I thought I would. It was pretty good. And I haven't listened to Sunday in the Park with George yet.
I've seen Sweeney multiple times. Very good productions, very bad productions.
Did you, like, write a paper on it?
Sweeney Todd might have been my BA senior thesis. You know, whatever, no big deal. So I know a lot about it. hair toss. I've seen Into the Woods once live, and it wasn't even the full version, which is upsetting because I enjoy the full version. But I think those are his only shows that I have. Funny thing happened under the way of the Forum. I've seen that like 2 or 3 times. I love that show.
Yeah, that's another one that I don't know, but I know. I think our the local community theater in our hometown, I remember them doing that, I think, a couple times. The one that was down near where, like, I live.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. I couldn't remember the name of it. Not that we would say it anyway, but
I got you. Well, it had like 2 names anyways. but no, I saw, oh, that's the first time I saw that show was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I just always remember being like, huh, I wonder what that is. Cause it's just such a like long and kind of weird name.
So I don't want to get too far into it, but it's one of those shows because it's Sondheim. It's not really what you expect it to be, and there's a lot of comedy in it. Like, there's a lot of comedy. Like, a lot of his shows are dark, and they have, like, slight comedy, like, darker humor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Forum is hilarious. It's a straight comedy. Like, I mean, Nathan Lane was one of the leads in it, in a revival. So I think that sort of, when I think Forum, I think Nathan Lane. So it's kind of like that. So like we said, he's one of the most important people of American musical theater, and many people have said that he has reinvented the American musical. His shows cover topics and themes that are usually not covered in musicals, and his music and lyrics are some of the most complex and sophisticated on Broadway.
He has an Academy Award, 8 Tonys, 8 Grammys, a Pulitzer Prize, an Olivier, and a Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is cool. That's cool. Mm. he just needs an Oscar.
Yeah.
Get this man an Oscar,
please. Although he doesn't write much anymore, but
I know. I was trying to look at what, like, how does that work? How does, like, movie adaptations of shows work? I don't know. Let's get this man an Oscar, though.
Yes.
The Henry Miller Theater was renamed to the Stephen Sondheim, and the Queen Theater in the West End was renamed to the Sondheim Theater. So he has a theater both on Broadway and in the West End named after him. On top of musical theater, he wrote songs for the movie Dick Tracy. Many of his works have been turned into film. A good amount.
Yeah.
A good amount for as many, as considering we don't have that many musical adaptations when you think about how many musicals there are.
Mm-hmm.
So some of his early life, early career. So it's well known that Sondheim as a child was emotionally neglected. Oh my God, why do you make me say the sad one? Well, that's really sad.
It's really sad. He has a really sad childhood.
Yeah. So yeah. He had a really sad childhood, which I just found out by reading this. So he was really emotionally neglected. His dad left his mother for another woman, and his mother took out his anger on him. So around this the time of the divorce, he became friends with the son of Oscar Hammerstein II, which I'm sure you've heard that name. And then Hammerstein became the father figure of Sondheim, which, why does that melts my little heart, my little musical theater heart.
It's really cute. Like, I remember first finding out that Sondheim was sort of like a protege of Hammerstein. And I think it's really cool because we'll talk about it later on, but Sondheim does that for people as well, other composers as well. And I think it's really cool. So music was always an interest of Sondheim's. And when he was younger, he wrote a musical at school and everyone at school absolutely loved it. I like to picture like an elementary school Sondheim. Granted, that's not what he was. I'm pretty sure he was in high school when this happened. But I like to picture little like what's the character from the Peanuts? Linus. But Sondheim at the piano, little like doing that. So he actually brought the musical to Hammerstein and to evaluate it, and he said that it was the worst thing he had ever seen. They spent the rest of the night.
True father figure.
Right. They spent the rest of the afternoon evaluating it, and Hammerstein told Sondheim he had four musicals he had to write as a type of a course that he was going to study under Hammerstein. He had to write a musical based on a play he admired, a musical based on a play he thought was flawed, and then a musical based on an existing novel or short story that had not been dramatized yet, and then an original musical, which is a really cool idea. I believe none of them have been produced. None of them are any of the ones we know. And I believe the musical based on the existing novel he started to write was Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head if he finished it or if he chose something else instead. But I know that there's talks of him when he was younger starting to write Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that's definitely a really cool, just like a concept of a way to really get into writing and writing as a musical.
Yeah,
like
right.
That just seems like good advice in general for people who are interested in getting into writing.
When I was more into writing, I started trying to do this kind of stuff. And I think one of the strengths of it is the fact that it's coming from material that is not already musicalized. I mean, obviously, that was a stupid comment. But it's based on... he wants him to write shows based on stuff that's already been written out and has a strong story, or stuff that that doesn't have a strong story that he wants to fix. And I think that's a good way to look at it.
I was just going to say, it reminded me of similar of when we were talking about how like Cats came to be and how Andrew Lloyd Webber was just like taking a source material and being like, can I write music to this? Kind of like a similar idea of just like, obviously I don't know how people come up with their shows. Like some stuff we have an idea, we're like, oh, they read this book and then they wrote this, or they watched this movie and made this. But it is kind of cool to just see like, not specifically like, this is how I'm going to write this musical, but just kind of how writing process works for, music, like musical theater or plays versus it's, a different process than what like other forms of writing are.
Yeah. I don't have it in here, but even just Sondheim's writing process is really interesting. He does not like to compose at his piano because he has a terrible left hand. And he's like, if I wrote at the piano, anything that I do with my left hand would be terrible. So he writes on his couch. He like sits on his couch with his little pad and he does everything by hand still, as far as I know. He's a cute little dude. I like him. So he went to Williams College in Massachusetts. He always knew he wanted to study composition, theory, and harmony, but he also knew he wanted to write for the theater. And for those of you who like never went through a music program, it's like not a thing. basically, like, his job while he was there is he needed to find someone who didn't hate theater music. And, like, after going through my BA program, I feel that statement so hard. I can't even tell you. He was eventually paired with Milton Babbitt, who, again, if we have any, like, music majors listening to us or even jazz people listening to us, you'll know this name. Super big person. You study a lot of his work when you're going through, like, theory classes specifically. But Sondheim would spend 4 hours a week working with him. They spent time dissecting theater music and classical music. So that's why Sondheim's music does oftentimes relate a lot to classical music, because he spent that time studying.
You think we can get him on an episode?
We can write him.
Yes. Oh, can we?
He has like a P.O. box and he'll actually respond to people.
I know Lynn does that too. Let's just do that. Let's just write to all our favorite composers, all our theater friends. Also, I didn't realize he was 90. Yeah. I just, like, looked him up. Like, I mean, I knew, obviously, like, his shows were older, but, like, I don't know. I guess in my head, I didn't think about him also being older.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, yeah. I was like, oh.
Like, his all shows right. come in a weird spot for me, because, like, they're older than I think they are.
Yeah. I think I kind of did a little bit of both. Like, I both thought they were, like, older and newer than they were. Mm-hmm. Timelines are hard. So many of his early work didn't get much success. It wasn't until he went to a party and ran into Arthur Lawrence. There he was put on a contract with Leonard Bernstein, and after auditioning, was contracted to write the lyrics for West Side Story. Whoop, whoop. Sondheim then went on to work on another project, but was interrupted by his work on Gypsy. Another whoop, whoop. He was set to write the music and lyrics, but Ethel Merman had just had a flop with an unknown composer and lyricist, and demanded that Jules Stein write the music.
Could you imagine a Sondheim Gypsy? It would be interesting. You'd have all the same lyrics, but then Sondheim music, which is not the same as Jules Stein.
Yeah.
At all. The first show he wrote on his own was A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. It received a number of Tony Awards, but he, as like the composer, was not nominated at all. After three successful shows, Sondheim had his first bomb with Anyone Can Whistle. After a bad experience working with Richard Rodgers, who we know from Rodgers and Hammerstein, Sondheim decided that he would only work if he could do both the music and lyrics. A little tea for you. That bad experience with Richard Rodgers was because Richard Rodgers was an alcoholic at the time, and it got really bad. For the years following this, Sondheim worked on a couple of smaller projects, but nothing really big. One thing I noticed, especially as I was researching, is a lot of the time you have people and they're known for like the composer and the lyricist. Sondheim's works, these later works, become known as like Sondheim working with directors like Hal Prince and James Lapine specifically. You sort of have this collaboration between Sondheim and directors. And I mean, as we find out, or even as we saw in like Smash, the relationship between like the show being written and the director has way more effect than I thought it did. It was ultimately his collaboration with Hal Prince that got him back on his feet. Their first shows together was Company, and then they followed it with Follies, A Little Night Music, Pacific Overtures, Sweeney Todd, and then finally Merrily We Roll Along. Merrily was a failure and almost caused Sondheim to quit theater until he saw a production directed by James Lapine at the Public Theater. He was drawn to Lapine's taste for avant-garde and visual-oriented theater. And then you can imagine their collaborations include Sunday in the Park with George, Into the Woods, and Passion. And really fast, before we go along, if you haven't seen it on Netflix, there is a documentary of the making of Merrily We Roll Along, which is really good. I didn't realize this, but Jason Alexander was in Merrily We Roll Along.
Huh.
Yeah. I had no idea he had a stage. It was like his big break, because I think after that is when he moved to Hollywood and started getting roles on screen.
I was going to say, I think he was in something else a few years ago, too. He's one of those people who I think has done theater a couple times, and it's always like, wait, what? Whenever I see him pop up. So some of his later works, some of them include things like Assassin, Saturday Night, Wise Guys, Bounce, and Roadshow. However, when asked in 2016 about writing new work, Sondheim said that he had a lack of energy and worried that there are no new ideas, as well as a lack of confidence that people are going to expect more and more from him, but he can't give, which, I mean, makes sense. Like, sir, you were one, again, we just said 90, so 2006, he would have still been, like, late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, like, late 70s, 2006. And, yeah. Like, I can't imagine that there is that pressure of, like, you've had so much success. Like, I don't want to keep going, like, oh, Lynn, but, like, I do feel like that probably does happen, where it's, like, you have, like, this huge success, and he had a lot. obviously, since we're talking about him. That's got to be hard to, that, especially if there is such a big break that people would have, like, oh my god, I have to go see what this new Sondheim musical is, and, you know, putting it on a pedestal.
Yeah, I completely agree. There, he sort of has this reputation to uphold, and it's not easy, and especially when you're older, like, do you think he really wants to, like, in his 80s, 90s, he really wants to try writing a musical? Yeah, he just wants to chill.
Let this man retire. He has done enough for us.
Even Roadshow, which I think is, like, the most recent one to come out, I think that was his first show that he, like, really ever wrote before, like, West Side 2. Like, it just had never been produced. Most of the new shows that are produced of his music are usually just, like, reviews. So this includes, like, Sondheim on Sondheim, Side by Side by Sondheim, Marry Me a Little, and Putting It Together. These all include songs from his shows or songs that were cut from his shows, which I think is really cool. So it's almost like you look at his, like, list of works and you're like, he has so much. But then, like, there's this chunk of it that's all just recycled work, which... you got to make money somehow. But I also think that there's a good way. In a lot of these, they do a very cool thing where they just put these songs into new lights. So, like, they could take a song from Sweeney Todd, even though they don't take songs from Sweeney Todd and do this. It's usually the lesser known ones. And they give it sort of like a different story or a different understanding of the piece, which I think is really cool. For most of the past decade, he has been working with David Ives on a musical based on the films The Exterminating Angel and The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie. The preview date has been pushed back several times, but the Public Theater is going to produce it when it's ready. I think they said it was supposed to be 2017, I think, and they pushed it back to 2019, and now they're just like, you know, whenever it's ready. They actually had a preview of Act 1 of the show, but that's it. And they have big names signed on to the project, too, so... it'll be interesting to see what happens with this show.
Yeah, I was just going to say for a second, going back to the cut songs, I wish we did get to see more of that. I know sometimes, like, some stuff will come out when songs shift from, like, off-Broadway to Broadway. I know that we've gotten to see some of that for some shows, but it would be cool. Like, obviously, there's reasons why songs get cut, but sometimes they're just cut because they don't work necessarily in the aspect of the show, but it doesn't mean that they're bad songs.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really do wish we would kind of get to see this more than just like, hey, here's a really, really popular show. Oh, here's some songs that we cut. Like, it would be cool to see those for even like medium sized shows to kind of see, you know, where those changes came from.
I completely agree. I feel like for the most part, a lot of the time songs are cut from shows for time. Most of the time, that's what it is. And it's not because it's a bad song, or maybe like they just, it's not as powerful of a piece for that character to sing, or it doesn't do anything for the plot or whatever. It's usually not because it's a bad song. So yeah, I wish we got more of those.
Yeah, I feel like an asshole as much as I keep mentioning like Lynn and Hamilton on here, but like a perfect example is Congratulations. Like, it just doesn't work as well in the show. And that is one of my hands down favorite songs. Love it. I'm glad it was cut. Like, I wouldn't want to see it in the show and it wouldn't work as well. But it's like, that's a perfect example of like a really good song that, like you said, was just kind of cut for time, just cut because it just didn't quite fit the way it needed to. And it's great that we have so many versions of that for Hamilton things. But I wish, and like, it sounds like, you know, we have some for Sondheim, which is nice. But I wish more shows would do that, would give us that. We want it. Make your money. Like you said, it's all about the money. Might as well make it. Give the theater people what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So some other projects that he has done. So he's written two books. Love some books. Finishing the Hat and Look, I Made a Hat, where he annotates lyrics from his productions, which, have you checked them out?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I've had them a couple times on my, or I've gone into bookstores and seen them, and I've skimmed through them. But they're really cool books because he goes in depth on a number of things. Like, he'll talk about why a lyric is a certain way, but then he'll also like write a memory from the show, and it's a cool read. It's a very cool read.
Yeah, see, I feel like that would be really, it's one of those ones where it's like, yes, I've been wanting to check them out and just haven't, because I love, like, I have four of the books of shows, and I've read the Hamilton and the Come From Away ones, and I have the Wicked and Book of Mormon ones, but I haven't read them yet. But I love it. Like, those are my favorite parts. Like, the interviews and stuff are really cool, but I really like seeing, like, this is how I came up with this lyric, or this is, you know, this is related to this memory that happened. So that does sound really cool. That's on my to-do list.
I think
you'd pushing like it up now that pushing it up now that I kind of know a little bit more, because I've seen him on Amazon pop up a couple times. They're always like really expensive. He's also had several unfinished works or canceled shows over the course of his career. One of which is the idea of writing a Groundhog's Day musical, which was written with his blessing in 2016, which I heard is better than expected, but I still haven't looked into.
That's what I've heard.
And then we've talked about, you know, the mentoring he got from Oscar Hammerstein II, and we see that, you know, being paid forward. So Sondheim has mentored a number of people, including Adam Gretel and Jonathan Larson, and Lin-Manuel Miranda also got notes on the Hamilton mixtape from Sondheim.
Fun little fact about Adam Gretel. He is the grandson of Richard Rodgers and son of Mary Rodgers.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I think it's so, like, writing is in his blood. It's there.
And they've also had giant celebrations for his birthday, for his 80th birthday, and earlier this year for his 90th birthday. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but there's been, you know, many, many film adaptations of his shows. Or I guess I should say adaptations of many of his shows. Not many adaptations of the same show. So we have, well, now we'll have two West Side Stories because we're supposed to have one come out at some point. December, but we'll see if that gets pushed. There's a recording of Gypsy. There's a film recording of a film version of Forum, film version of A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, and Merrily We Roll Along is currently to be announced.
Sondheim's name will definitely live on. There's a number of organizations and performing centers in his name. We talked about theaters being changed to have his name on it. One of my favorites is he was actually originally embarrassed that the Henry Miller Theater was changed because he says his last name doesn't sing. He's like, it doesn't sound good like the Rogers or I can't think of what else. And he was like, it's still better than like these two names. but he's like, it just doesn't sound good. And he was embarrassed. And I was like, Sondheim, stop. You're cute. I think my favorite sort of like fun fact with this show or with the show with Sondheim is that the TV show Desperate Housewives refers to his song titles or lyrics in the titles of their shows. Like the final episode is called Finishing the Hat.
No way.
Yeah. And then actually for their 80th birthday, they did a video. I saw it while I was doing my research. They did a video where all the characters are like, what's your favorite Sondheim song? And like they tied it into like the character's actual story. And I think one of my favorites is they had one of Lynette's kids just going on and he was like giving the most sophisticated answers. Like he's like, I like lesson number 8 from Sunday in the Park with George. And I'm like, you're 6. Shut up. It's a really funny video, actually, especially if you know the show. Like this was my guilty pleasure when it was out. It's funny.
It's on my to watch list recently. I can't remember why it came up because someone was talking about it and I was like, oh, it's not what I thought it was about. And I was like, this actually sounds like it might be kind of good. So it's been on my, I think it's on Netflix.
I think it's on Hulu.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Hulu because I rewatched it in college with Allison. It's trash.
Shout out to Allison.
It's trash, but I fucking love that show. They had a video game version too. Sorry.
All I was going to say is I love trash TV. So.
Yeah. That's why I think you'd like it. Like, it's obviously it's not like reality TV. It's like scripted TV, but it is trash. They had a video game version of it that I had. And you were a new housewife on the street and you could like, you know, go break into other people's houses and sleep with their husbands, or you could just bake a cake.
It sounds great. I mean, I watched Grey's Anatomy, so it sounds like just a non-medical version of that.
Yes. Yes. A more petty version of Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, that's basically what it is. So watch it, please. It's so good.
I was just going to say, not changing the subject, but going back to what we were talking about his, you know, his legacy and how his name will be mentioned. I'm just kind of going through the names of the theaters right now. And obviously there's other theaters named after people, but I feel like he's the first one that they've changed to someone who's newer.
Yeah,
like we have the Rogers Theater, we have some that are like older people, but we don't have, you know, like there's not an Andrew Lloyd Webber Theater, there's not a Stephen Schwartz Theater, there's not like, you know, these newer people that we see yet. And it'll be interesting to see in like, you know, 10, 20, 30 years if any of them also get their names put onto a theater, or if he gets to be, you know, because that is a big deal.
It is. I think it really goes down to legacy and like what you did to help the theater community, and not necessarily help. That's a bad way to put it. But Stephen Sondheim's contributions are huge to the theater community. And like he changed the face of American theater, and that's why he has that. And we just, it's hard to change it because it's hard to get new things nowadays. We always talk about on here about getting like an original musical, like let's get that. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. But you know.
Yeah, because only 14 out of the 41 theaters look like they're named after someone.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of them might be, and they might be like just last names. Oh yeah, there might be more actually now that I think about it. Because some of them are like Gershwin Theater's named after him, and I don't think I counted that. Or like Hayes Theater probably is. So they're probably more than that.
Yeah, Helen Hayes.
Ignore that.
So do you have any favorite Sondheim shows? I know this, or songs. I meant to warn you about this question.
Well, I mean, West Side Story and Gypsy are two shows I really like. In
you mean
general,
the ones he didn't write the music for?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh god, I mean, I like I said, I listened to Company recently. I can't remember what episode we were talking about it, but we were talking about it on episode, and you're like, oh no, yeah, it's a little boring, but it's definitely like a good listen. And I listened to it shortly after we had talked about it then, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. Let me see. I actually saved more songs than I thought I was going to. Oh god damn it, I forgot it was stupid. Never mind, but I did save some songs from there. It has that annoying kind of thing that it does on Spotify sometimes where the title is also Company original Broadway cast, and then it says the name, so I can't like see it.
It's too much work, yeah.
Yeah, but I did save a few songs from there. I mean, there is, I do like, you know, some of the songs from Into the Woods from what I've heard of it. I haven't, like I said, I haven't really listened to some of the other ones. Like, the stuff that I have listened to, there hasn't been anything that I'm like, man, this is awful. Mm-hmm. It's mostly like, sounds like it's all right.
Yeah, totally. I love Sweeney Todd. My senior paper was that. I love Into the Woods so much. I think it's such a cool concept of a show for a show, done really well. So those are two of my favorite shows by him. If I had to choose like a favorite song, definitely Send in the Clowns. Oh, such a beautiful song from Night Music. Oh, Assassins, Unworthy of Your Love. Assassins is a cool show in general, but I love that song.
That's another one I've been really wanting to check out and haven't. It's another one where I was like, once I found out what it was about, I was like, ooh, this sounds really cool. Like,
my issue is that I always like to listen through Sondheim shows with the score. So it's not something, like, I tried listening to Saturday Night the other day, and I didn't have the score on me. So I was like, walking around the building listening, and I was like, this is not, from what I was hearing, it was really good, but I just enjoy going through his with the score.
Also, I realized I'm a liar. I did listen to a little Night Music, but I couldn't finish it because I thought it was kind of not for me.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. That's one that I do have a hard time just listening to. Not a hard time, but it's a little harder to make it through. I feel like I'd have to see it live.
Ratings. Let's rate this man.
Really fast, I do want to talk about a recent album that came out. I don't know. I don't think you've listened to it, have you?
I haven't, but I was going to ask you earlier when you were mentioning the other stuff, but then I scrolled and I was like, oh, he has it later. Because I know you've recommended it. Like, you keep yelling at me to listen to it.
If you know Sondheim, I highly recommend this this album. It's called Losing My Mind, A Disco Sondheim Fever Dream. Ugh, it's so good. It's disco meets Sondheim in all the best ways possible. The composer is all over TikTok, and they actually followed me, and that's how I found out about it. Their goal is to sort of take you, like, the beginning of the album is like the introduction, and then all the songs sort of just flow into each other, and as you go further and further, you're like, I'm going into this disco fever dream, until you finally get to, I think it's, they have a song titled Losing My Mind, or they use the song Losing My Mind, and I think that's when it really starts, you've like lost it. Playbill actually did like a song by song breakdown with the composer, or arranger, I should say. And it's really cool, and they have call outs to regular disco music. It's just so good, and there's so many good mashups. Like, one of the mashups is Giants in the Sky Somewhere, something like that, when it's a mashup of Somewhere from West Side Story and Giants in the Sky from Into the Woods, and it's so good. I highly recommend it. It's a fun listen. It's only like 40 minutes. The other one, I actually have not listened to this yet, but I think it's a really interesting concept, is they had a bunch of composers, like people like, these are some more like, I guess, music major names that like you would recognize these people if you were a music major usually, but like Steve Reich, Frederick Chevsky, Annie Gosfield, Jason Robert Brown, everyone should know if you're listening to this podcast, and then a couple other. But basically what they do is it's an album called Liaisons, Reimagining Sondheim from the Piano. And every one of these composers took one of Sondheim's songs or something similar and arranged it for a piano. And they actually have, like, the music book. Like, the first night is called... It's by William Bolcom, who I actually recognize. I recognize that name. Can't think of from what. But he took A Little Night Fugetta, and it's, like, melodies. It's a fugue on melodies from A Little Night Music. And it's just... It's a... Sondheim music nerd's dream, and I really enjoy it. So rate him.
Out of composers.
Out of composers, I give him a 2. No. Out of what's that song or what's that drink from? What's it called? Anyways, forget I said it.
What's that drink from? What's it called?
Yep, Patti LuPone drinks it. It's from Company. A gin, gin fizzle, gin swizzle. Anyways, so I really like Sondheim. He's okay for Sarah.
Yeah, I don't like dislike him. I mean, it's similar to like what we talked about before. Older shows, not always my favorite. So, yeah, and I mean, it doesn't. Even if it's not my favorite, obviously he's an important person. He's had a huge legacy. His name is a name that you probably know if you are somewhat of a theater person. Not like if you're, yeah. Yeah. Like, it's probably someone you've heard of. Like, he's important.
He is. And I mean, even if you don't like musical theater at all, first of all, why are you listening to this podcast? But second of all, maybe you watched South Park. Maybe you saw the episode Broadway Brodown, where him and Andrew Lloyd Webber get into a fight. That's my favorite episode. That's actually my second favorite episode. My first favorite episode, in case you're wondering, is World of Warcraft. Anyways, what are some of your favorite Sondheim shows? Do you like Sondheim? Do you not like Sondheim? If you don't like Sondheim, I definitely want to hear your reasoning. Not like as a judgment reason. I just am curious. I want to hear. So where can they send their opinions?
You can email us at mtbcpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at mtbcpodcast, or you can always send us a message on TikTok or Instagram if you'd like to at mtbcpodcast. Any of those places. Any major social media we are on.
We there. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, send to your best friends, send to your enemies, send to Stephen Sondheim. Send him this episode. He'd love it. He told me. Have a good week and go ahead and go listen to some Sondheim. ¶¶